Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
So what if the reason you still don't feel like you're enough has nothing to do with your weight, your success, or your accomplishments? Because so many women spend their lives trying to fix themselves through food, through achievement, through proving their worth, only to discover the real battle was never on the outside. It was the story they believed about themselves. Welcome back to the show. Today we're talking about a struggle that millions of women quietly carry, the feeling that no matter what they achieve, it's never quite enough. Our guest today is Christine Shrimp. She's the author of Sugar Freed, which is a powerful book that began as a journey to break free from sugar, but became something so much bigger, a journey of identity, faith, self-worth, and discovering that true freedom doesn't come from changing what's on your plate. It comes from changing what you believe about yourself. And so Christine has helped countless women break free from these destructive patterns, stop chasing perfection, and finally understand their worth was never something they had to earn. Christine, it's really good to see you again. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, so we were just talking about you broke your foot. You've been kind of taking it easy over the past couple of weeks. Yes. Other than that, how are things going?
Well, I learned a lot of lessons that might apply to this conversation today, so I'll be interested to see how we can tie that in.
Yeah, I bet. Slowing down, hey, it's always the quiet time that gives clarity. What is the biggest lesson you learned from breaking your foot?
I 100% believe that as a solopreneur, as someone who's trying to get the message out to as many women as possible, that I needed to take a little break. And it's okay. Oh, you know, I broke my foot. And the irony is not lost on me that I really feel like God was calling me to just slow down a little bit and take a break. And so I did. I listened to that nudge, and I haven't done a lick of work in the last 2 weeks. And today is actually back to work day, and I was excited to see you on my schedule. So this is a great way to get back into the groove of getting this message out there to help women.
Totally. And it does totally fit in our conversation because women feel so guilty when they're not doing anything. Like, it's one thing to not feel enough, but then to not allow like yourself to rest. And then it just like adds layers on. Why do you think so many successful women struggle with that feeling of not enoughness?
Well, you know, because what I have learned over my 10-year health and wellness journey and looking back at my corporate career is that the idea of success was never really designed to fill a void or to be our identity. You know, we were designed for significance as a woman, as a mom, as a daughter of God, for those of us, those women that share the same faith as me, not an achievement. Like, I am enough. And I did not believe that for so many years, because the cruel irony that I could see looking back on my striving is that the more I accomplished in my career or as a mom or in my church community, the louder like the accusations got for me in my personal health and wellness journey, because I was such a failure, that I'm saying that in quotes, unquote, for those of you that are not watching the YouTube video. But, you know, I called myself a failure for so many years because everything that was going well in my life kept raising the bar. And if I wasn't reaching that significance in every area, every aspect of my life, I always felt like I was never enough. And, you know, I would lay in bed at night just feeling like a fraud. Like, I could check every single box in my life except getting my health and wellness under control and living in a healthy place. So there was a lot of emptiness there. You know, the performance was there, but then the problems were adding up, because for me, it was a deeply spiritual journey as well, too. And living in this culture, you know, this the culture has a lot to do with it, because it's so speedy. It's so success driven. And so I believed the lies that I wasn't enough and that I had to earn my way to significance. And I had to run this race as fast as I possibly could. And I tried to do that for decades.
Yeah, and then layer on like the confusion of our role. Like we've had so many generations of like stay at home, women who stay at home and raise a family, and now women have a say in what happens in the world, and now women are kind of taking over in certain aspects. So it's like really confusing and really I don't know. It's like women don't know what to do with themselves right now. I don't know. Do you think this feeling is more common today than ever so before?
Yeah, I actually do. And what, like, I see women, like, I'm very traditional in my faith and in my family structure, and I can see a significant difference in how, like, some women are starving. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this about career women. Don't take that wrong. But I definitely see the polar op a polarization happening, right? Even amongst women that, don't even bring in the men, but with the women, it's like one, these women want to go this way, these women want to go that way. I could see women standing in the middle being completely confused. Like, well, which way is going to help me feel like I am enough? And so, yeah, there's definitely a lot of confusion there.
Absolutely. How much of this do you think comes from social media comparison and the pressure of society to be on and successful and have a family and a business and look pretty and all of the things that we go through?
Yeah, definitely. I 100% believe that social media is a fuel on the fire. I don't think social media is the cause. I think that this has been happening for many decades. In fact, it goes back all the way to creation. I can see comparison when I'm doing my Bible studies. Women are, they're always comparing themselves on what they produce, how they look, how they perform, and social media is just pouring the fuel on that fire. And, we're always trying to improve culture, and that can actually be really, I think, for high capacity Christian women like myself, we fall into these traps of maybe Christianizing it. Like we call it stewardship, we can call it discipline, we call it growth, but underneath it's building up on that same lie that you're not enough, that you have to earn this. And so yeah, I definitely think, and social media, I mean, I think everybody would agree that social media really fuels that comparison culture too.
For sure. Christine, I'd love for you to take us back to your own journey. So before this beautiful transformation that you went through, before this book, wonderful book that you wrote, what was your relationship with yourself like?
Honestly, I look back and I see that I had made peace with a lie. And let me explain that. By my late 40s, I had decided that a life of morbid obesity was my destiny. And so I began losing hope on ever living with a healthy body. I had prediabetes, I had fatty liver disease, I had obstructive sleep apnea. Every day was filled with chronic pain and inflammation, and I thought that was just going to be my lot in life. And I continually told myself, and actually I did, Lisa. I'm a type A person. When I commit to something, I'm actually very good at following through. I followed many diets. I counted my points. I ate less. I moved more. I tried everything in moderation. So, it wasn't for a lack of trying. It was just a lack of not finding the solution that I needed for my particular metabolism that was one, completely addicted to sugar and carbohydrates, and I didn't even know that. But all of those years, I was like, I just got to the point where I decided, like, well, I guess this is it. I was still leading. I still had a wonderful career that I loved. I was still showing up for everybody, but quietly, I was dying inside. And I love to share how my kids even called me Krabby Patty. I used to let them watch SpongeBob SquarePants. And they would call me Krabby Patty because I was crashing off sugar every evening and I was taking it out on them. So I was medicating all of that pain from that lie that I was believing and calling that comfort.
Was there a point where you realized that your struggle wasn't about food anymore, where it was something deeper?
Yeah, as I was approaching my 50th birthday, I think there's something about approaching a new decade that really makes women pay attention to their health and wellness. I went to Colorado and I tried to climb a mountain path that my husband had picked out, and I thought I was going to be able to make it because when I looked at the trail marker, it said a half a mile to Nymph Lake, and I thought I could do a half mile. But the incline on that path was, it didn't allow me to climb, Lisa. About halfway up that trail, I had to sit down because I was gasping for air, and I told my husband to go on without me. And just about everything in my life, those chronic health issues that I just mentioned, they were all piling up, and I started thinking about all of those. And I had what I call kind of sitting on that stump, my come to Jesus moment, where I realized I could not go on like this anymore. And something came over me in that moment, like I just said a simple prayer, like, God, I just want to feel better. Because again, I was believing the lie that I would never get to a healthy place in my life. But I had a realization, like, there is so much more to this than just the fact that I'm like completely addicted to sugar and carbohydrates and struggling with morbid obesity. But I realized I came home from that trip and I said, I can't do this anymore. I literally have something has to change. And something deep down inside of me knew that this wasn't just a nutrition problem, although that was part of it. I needed to learn something new for my biology, but I also had to be able to confess and identify and accept the fact that this was actually a bondage that I was in, like food. Well, I was in bondage to food, and that stronghold was underneath. And so breaking the stronghold is really where I had to get to the point that my struggle was so much more about food, or not, it was so much more than just dealing with what was on my plate.
Yeah, that's what I love about your message is you ultimately say that the struggle isn't really about the food. And so how do you think our feeling of not enoughness shows up in our relationship with sugar, food, and our bodies?
Yeah, in a million ways. I don't have time to list them
Yeah,
all, right?
totally.
Oh my goodness. So, for me and for the women that I help, what I see the evidence is eating in secret, things like eating in secret, that's showing up in our relationship with food and sugar and our bodies, piling on the shame and starting over again every Monday. Because we need to reset this ritual that we have going on, and thinking and hoping that this time, this next time, this next Monday is going to be different. I used food, and the women that I coach use food to reward ourselves for surviving a hard day, because no one else is giving us a reward, or no one else is comforting in that moment. And then we end up, overindulging. We might binge on junk food that evening, and then the next day we restrict and we begin this ritual, this loop, this pattern of restricting. So overeating, restricting, overeating, restricting, restricting to punish ourselves, and hoping like, oh, maybe I'll just like, if I don't eat or I eat small meals for the next 2 days, I'll take off that, 2 pounds that I might have put on. If we could just get the food right, then we would finally like ourselves or love ourselves. So food is carrying the weight of our self-worth. That's what's going on. That's what I identified is carrying the weight of my self-worth. Food is not supposed to carry the weight of my self-worth, right? Food is supposed to be fuel for my body. It is supposed to nourish my body. Food was never designed to bear that weight of my how I feel about myself. So that's how food, the struggle is with not enough is showing up in our relationship with sugar, food, and our bodies.
Yeah, there is I mean there's the biological reaction to food, and then there's the like the body's reaction to food. So I mean the sugar spikes are a real thing. They cause like those irritability spikes, like you were talking about, your kids calling you crabby, whatever nickname they had for you. But that's a real thing. Like that really happens.
Yes.
But there's also the part that breaks my heart is I was like with a group of girls the other weekend, and one of my friends was like, "Make sure you cut my leg out of this photo," 'cause she didn't like the way her leg looked. And you know, I look at these women and they're so powerful and they're so beautiful, and but they don't see themselves like that because they have a little bit of extra weight on their bodies because they're in menopause, right? And it's just it's heartbreaking, the identity loss that women feel through this weight issue, or feeling like a couple extra pounds makes them unattractive. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I see that a lot too with my friends, my family, the women that I get to coach that come with me. They are trying to solve so many problems in their life through weight loss. I mean, and this was me too. I believed that once I lost the weight, that I would have confidence, that everything in my life would be roses and unicorns, that I would finally put myself out there confidently, that I'd be more bold in my career, and that maybe I'll put a swimsuit on and be in a picture with my kids and be ready for whatever I kept putting off. And that was the thing. I described this as living for 30 years of my adult life on the sidelines. And I never wanted to be in pictures. You mentioned pictures, Lisa. I didn't want to be in pictures, period. So the weight loss becomes like this raging battle within ourselves. And we expect that to be our identity. Like if I lose the weight, if I get thin, then that my identity is going to be better. But the problem is that doesn't work. I know women who have lost 100 pounds and still don't like to look in the mirror because despite the scale changing, they still don't believe in their self-worth. To give them credit, psychologically, when people lose a massive amount of weight, it takes time to catch up. That's a whole process too. Like we could do a whole other episode on something like that. So the belief takes time to come there, but yeah, so there's that's not going to be the solution is, solving this identity problem through weight loss.
Yeah, I mean, we could relate it to people who get plastic surgery and then they get addicted to it because they still don't feel beautiful. I actually had the opposite problem. So when I was younger, I was really, really skinny, and I wanted to, I didn't realize that I was gaining weight. I had recovered from an addiction. I had a sugar addiction, and I was eating large popcorn bowls of cereal with so much sugar in them, and I was putting on weight, and I didn't see myself putting on the weight until like my mom had to tell me like, "You need to change your eating habits because you're putting on a lot of weight." But I couldn't see that in myself because I saw the skinny girl that I was most of my life. So it definitely, yeah, it's very, it's bizarre, right? Like you're right. We have to catch up. Our brains have to catch up on how we look, but it's more about how we feel. That confidence is hard to create.
And as far as the identity goes, like weight loss, just I like to reframe weight loss with the women that I coach. Instead of like, what is the number on the scale? Let's pursue health. Like, let's be in the pursuit of a strong, healthy body. And that, when we get there, we don't even necessarily have a number on the scale what that's going to look like. So that is one shift I like to try to get women to see and accept because, most of the women I work with have been doing this for decades too, just like me. So we've got all of these old patterns, all these old beliefs, all these old dietary mantras that we're still carrying, that we're still dragging around with us. Like everything in moderation is like, if it's the last thing I do, I want to like kick that to the curb and never let it revive itself, because everything in moderation does not work for someone who is completely addicted to sugar and carbohydrates. And most people don't realize that they are addicted to sugar and carbohydrates. So that's what, that's part of my mission, is to get out there and let people know, like, you're stuck in this loop with your health journey of constantly gaining and losing because of this false belief that we've been told. Like, it's a dietary mantra that just does not work for everyone. For some people, it works beautifully. But for women like me who have really, are carbohydrate intolerant, sugar addicted, obesity, insulin resistant, everything in moderation is something that we really need to set aside until we can get to a healthier place.
So faith plays a big role in your story. So how did faith begin help you begin seeing yourself differently?
It gave me a source of worth that was finally not contingent on my performance, right? And it wasn't contingent on what was happening on a scale, on a tool of measurement that can never, it can never share my identity with me. So for the first time, when I went on this health and healing journey, I'm so grateful to God that He brought me to the place where I realized it wasn't just the weight. It was like I needed the biology to help fix my metabolism, but I also needed to stand on biblical truth. And I had not been doing that. Even someone that was raised in the church, raised in a Christian home, I didn't really understand God's word. Like I said, I think I've already said this, that I believed that lie, that this was it. Like, this was it. But I now 100% believe that God had so much more for me. He has so much more for the women that He is calling into their own health and wellness journey. And I had been trying to earn my way to that worthiness for 30 years. But faith, my faith, the Christian faith, says that has already been settled. Like, I do not have to work any harder today or tomorrow. My faith has already been settled, and now I live from that reality. I love diving into my Bible every single day and finding this truth. And sometimes we need to be reminded of it because we're still carrying those little old beliefs in the back of our mind. But that's really what helped me stop struggling in my weight loss journey. I often describe it when I'm speaking at women's events, like, I picked up my Bible for the first time in my life daily, and that changed my life. That literally changed my health journey. You would not think that picking up a Bible would be the best dietary program ever, but that's exactly what happened to me. So I stopped struggling from that identity that I had been believing for so many years, and I have this new identity. In church, women of faith, we say we have our identity in Christ. And that identity was there for me, and I was finally understanding it and able to receive it.
How do you think we move from finding our worth in what we do to finding it in who we are? Because so many women tie their worth to their titles and roles. And really, it's about what's in our hearts.
Yeah, I know that this is a process too. This is takes a long time to get to this point. And for me, it had first I had to get to the realization and accept the fact that I had these struggles. I had these biological struggles with my metabolic health that I was contributing to because of the food choices that I was putting in my mouth. But I also had deep spiritual troubles that, were leading me down this path of constantly running and, circling the mountain is the best way I describe it. And I also believed that my body disqualified me from so much in life and that nobody would take me serious. I also believed that God was disappointed in me. So many lies that I was believing. And but if you show up and you get real with yourself, I always tell my clients that you have to be real about this. Like, there is no secrets in our coaching community when it comes to our food patterns and behaviors. We talk about the secret eating. We talk about the standing at the refrigerator at 2 a.m. when you should be sleeping. We talk about going through the McDonald's drive-through consistently every week, and we talk about these things. And when we can start talking about those truths of what has happened to us, that's when we can begin to shape these new healthy habits. And, you know, that's why I love to disciple women through this too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about your book, Sugar Freed. What inspired you to write Sugar Freed?
Honestly, what happened to me, Lisa, I couldn't keep my mouth shut about it. And I had a little bit of righteous anger. And yeah, righteous anger is anger is this form of anger is not bad. Like righteous anger makes you take action. And I was so upset about all those years of dieting that I experienced when I didn't have the right information with what was going to heal my body. Nobody ever told me that my insulin resistance meant that my blood sugar kept spiking up and down throughout the day, which was spiking my insulin, and that insulin was my fat storing hormone. You know, if somebody would have told me that maybe 25 years ago, I think I would have received that. Like, what do you mean? Insulin's my fat storing hormone. Okay, let's get the insulin stabilized. I would have ran with it. And so that's what I did when I finally learned it. And people just do not know this. So I'm on a mission to spread this word, to bring new information, spread awareness, because I know what failed me for 30 years. And now I know what actually works for me. And so I can't keep that to myself. I'm on a mission to tie the biology with biblical truth for women of faith. And I love watching women, their eyes light up when they hear this new information, and they just have this hope like, oh my goodness, I think this might work for me. And then when they, you know, commit to it and they see that this is helping their biology, they're trusting God in this journey, and I get the privilege to coach them. That's why I wrote the book, because I put everything through I put the story of six other women that I've had the privilege to coach in the book, and how it all fits together, restoring the body, renewing the mind, and redeeming the spiritual walk into one great, big, like wonderful, joyous health and healing journey.
Yeah, that's amazing. Was there a specific chapter or lesson in the book that was particularly personal for you to write?
Well, writing the truth about what I just talked about earlier about having to accept things, like writing about secret eating, was really difficult because that was my secret, right? I didn't want people to know what I was doing in secret. But once we start sharing stories like that, it opens up conversation, and it allows women to see like, oh, I'm not alone. And then another particular difficult part of writing this book was to the church. And, you know, the church, I believe, has a problem just like America. Obesity is an epidemic right now. And I 100% think that the church should be leading the way out of this. And I'm really concerned about the fitness of the church. So I kind of had to hold the church's feet to the fire in this book and talk about gluttony and talk about food idolatry and talk about abusing our bodies and not stewarding it well, which is outlined in scripture that we are to steward our bodies well. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to honor that. And it just breaks my heart that we're not doing that. So I did have to write about that. And thankfully, I've gotten some pretty good feedback on that section of the book because it was not easy to write about, you know, calling it what it actually is.
Definitely. I think once you start talking about these things, you realize that so many more people are struggling with it than you could ever imagine. It's so funny how we think that we're the only ones struggling with certain things when we're going through them.
Yes.
And it's really nice when people start relating, or when you open up and then someone else feels safe enough to open up. Why do you think so many women connect with your story?
I think because there's so many women out there like me, Lisa, that are not talking about this. I didn't even tell my husband the depths of my despair over my health situation. He did not know that I was going to bed every single night beating myself up and believing the lies that once again, I was a failure and like, I'll never get this right. And I'm always meant to live this way. And you know, I also, as a believer, I love sharing a great transformative testimony. And we're actually called to share our testimonies to help encourage other brothers and sisters in our church community. So, and just living in this, being genuinely free and having a new source of joy in my life. I mean, you can't keep joy to yourself. Once you discover this joy and it's buried deep down inside of you, it overflows. And so women can definitely see a difference and an authenticity and a vulnerability in my story. And I want my story to be their story. I'm not out here to, you know, promote myself. What God is doing by opening doors for me is helping them hear the message of hope for healing. So I'm grateful for every door that God opens. And I love to meet the women that are on the other side of all those open doors, because again, I want this story, I want my story to be their story for their good health, and also for God's glory.
Yeah, it's funny what happens when you feel good, right? Like when you're healthy and
Yes.
have natural energy, and it just changes your confidence. I don't know. I just want women to know that, like, you don't have to look a certain way. There's not a certain beauty standard anymore. Like I said earlier, I look around and there's women of different shapes and sizes that are all so beautiful. What makes someone so vibrant, though, is their, that confidence they have in themselves. And you can really feel that when you walk in a room full of people. Like, you just can feel that confidence from someone, no matter what they look like.
Yeah, and just having more energy, I just feel like that energy just kind of oozes out of people too. And it's the physical energy, the emotional energy can really change the tone of a room as well too. And nourishing your body well, there's something to be said about the amount of energy that that gives you as well. So it's a beautiful thing.
What changes when a woman finally understands that she's already enough?
Everything. Everything. And again, it takes a little time to get there, but the first things that changed in my life were just that confidence, that joy, knowing and finally accepting that my worth is not tied to my performance. Like, I literally did nothing the last 2 weeks, Lisa, with a broken foot because I just wanted to rest. I really felt like this was my time to rest and reflect, and I don't feel like a failure for doing that. My to-do list got a little long, but that's okay. I'll chip away at it today. But and you know, I accepted the fact in the past I might have like felt like I was falling short. I wasn't measuring up. I might have spiraled into shame. But now that I walk in this freedom every single day of having this new identity and knowing that like not enough is not going to be a heavy weight that I carry around any longer. So that really just changes everything. It just gives me a different capacity to show up every single day too.
Is there a dark side to gaining confidence? What I mean by that is I worked on myself for quite a while, and the people in my life had a hard time with it. Like, it was like suddenly I was, shiny and vibrant, and it was like they were almost threatened by it in a way, and it made it a little bit challenging to show up that way. Did you have any struggles with that?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is part of changing, part of transforming for the better,
How do you
right? I mean,
navigate that life? How do you navigate that?
yeah. Well, you know, first of all, I want to say too that people can change. A lot of times it's great when we change for the better, right? People also change for the negative too. I feel like when people change for the better, those that don't or are lacking something or believing the lies, believing they're not enough and that they don't measure up, they feel threatened. And I actually lost a best friend from my childhood through this process, with no explanation, just decided that I was no longer part of her life. And, you know, it took me a long time to accept that and to come to, you know, a radical acceptance of it, you know, like, and I finally just realized, like, well, I'm not her person anymore, and that's okay. Like, you know, that's okay. People change, people move on. And but yeah, it is difficult. It's really difficult to navigate things like that, for sure.
Absolutely. So for every woman listening today, if they could truly believe one thing about herself, what would you want that to be?
Oh, that, oh my goodness, we have so much more in common than you think, ladies, right? We're not solo out here all on our own, right? I really truly believe that God created us for community and for fellowship, and that we need each other. And so as I witness women day by day, like, believing lies about themselves, the ones that we've accepted about themselves, that you're too far gone, you're too old, you're too broken, you're too complicated, you're too much, you know, that you're not an exception. Like, we all have experienced moments or seasons like this in our lives. And I just want to tell for the women of faith that you, like, God can actually turn this around and use it for his will and his glory. His faithfulness is not rationed just to people who are showing up in are enough, right? You know, his faithfulness is there for anybody. For women who feel disqualified, there is no way that if you would have told me 15 years ago, Lisa, that I was going to leave my corporate career and write and speak and coach in this capacity, I would have laughed, because I would have felt very disqualified and very unqualified, I should say. You know, we are more alike than you would ever believe, ladies. And if you are looking for confirmation of that, or just support, or someone to understand that, you know, reach out to somebody that might understand, might give you a listening ear to listen to your story. You know, we are so much more alike than we give ourselves credit for, I think. And we don't have to live in this isolation and keeping these secrets for all of these years.
I would love for everyone to get a copy of Sugar Freed and have the ability to connect with you. So, where can they do that?
My book, Sugar Freed, is available where books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through my website too. If you go to my website, christinetrimp.com, the best way to connect with me there is if you want a free chapter of my book, like as a sample, there's a free chapter available, and you can download that, and then you'll be connected with me on my email. And then also, I do coach women, and I love to start them with a 21-day sugar-free detox journey. And you can learn all about that on my website as well too. And that's christinetrimp.com.
Amazing. Well, thanks again for a really powerful conversation that is empowering for every woman out there. It's tough being a woman. There's so many things out there that are, it's still like it's a man's world still. You know, everything is shifting a little bit, but it's still designed for a man to thrive in. And so I just appreciate you coming on and being so open and for sharing your story and for creating such a beautiful program that any woman could relate to. Like, it doesn't matter what part of her journey she's on, if she's just at the beginning or in the middle. I think anyone would really benefit from your program, and reading your book. So just appreciate you so much. Do you have any last minute thoughts?
Just to tell them that they are enough. Like, ladies, you are enough. And, you know, God created you for a purpose. I never would have believed that either. So that's an important thing to close with too. God did create you for a purpose. He has a plan for your life, and don't give up, because you are enough.
I love it. Don't give up, you guys. We are all enough. Again, this conversation was so powerful because it is a reminder that our worth is not determined by a number on a scale or a title on a business card or how much we have accomplished. So no one has to earn their worth. You don't have to prove your worth either. And you certainly don't have to become someone else to be enough. So again, thank you, Christine, for joining us and for sharing your story. If you'd like to connect with Christine or grab a copy of Sugar Free, Sugar Freed, we have included all of the links in the show notes. And if this episode resonated with you, share it with a woman who needs the reminder that she has always been more than enough. Take care, everyone, and we'll see you next time.